I think we're singing that song, just the last one. If you're unsure about what we were talking about last week, with these 10 virgins and the oil, they didn't have enough. Some of them had enough. Some of them didn't bring any extra. If you're unsure, if you know the Lord, and like Jesse and other ones said, if like Brother Thomas said, if you leave here today and get hit by a semi truck or train and die, are you going to heaven or are you going to hell? And I don't think we said that recently, but there's two choices. There's two ways you can go. You're going to go to heaven and be with the Lord for eternity, eternal life, or you're going to go to hell. And there ain't no, that's it, two choices. And you're either in the boat or out of it. There's not, I show up to most of the services and no. Do you know him? And if I don't tell you and ask you right now, do you know him? I failed what God had just told me to do. He's telling me to tell you, do you know him? Are you going to heaven or not?
This morning I was just overpowered with a feeling that I ought to be up here this morning. I'm not sure what the Lord has for me to say, really, but I know he was commanding in my heart for me to get up here. And I'm just as curious what he got to say as you do, because I know it's for me too. But before I go any further, I'm going to pray. Let's pray and open up our heart to the Lord that he can flow in a spirit that will connect with people. Because what I believe I'm going to share is going to go right along with just what God said. It's going to flow right with it. But Lord, we praise your holy name. We thank you, Lord, for dying for us, for shedding this blood, Lord, that makes all things possible. You have come down and cleansed the temple, Lord, that you may flow through us, Lord, for the purpose of helping and connecting with others that you long to save, that you want to bring into a knowledge of the truth, Lord, that you want to help, that you want to deliver from this present evil world, Lord. And Lord, we just yield ourselves, all of us, Lord, to you, Lord, that you may have your wonderful way, that you may lead, guide, and direct in this service. Guide our hearts and our minds, Lord. Make us receptive to the Spirit, Lord. And Lord, we just look to you. We love you. We praise you. We're worthy. You're worthy of all praise, and we thank you. We thank you for that blood that makes salvation so possible, that cleanses us from all unrighteousness, Lord, which is a gift from you. But Lord, you must command the light to shine in the heart of darkness to make that possible. And Lord, we yield ourselves to be yielded, to be used by you, Lord. Looking to you, Lord, the author and finisher of our faith. In Jesus' name, we pray. Thank the Lord. What I had on my mind this morning, I got up and I really hit me profoundly that I had not been as thankful as I should have been. It really hit me in a way that I looked around me and I had so much to be thankful for. I mean, absolutely so much to be thankful. And even though this world's foundations, these things that we lean on in this world, are crumbling and shaking, that God said he was going to shake them, We have a greater hope in Jesus Christ. We have a greater confidence, a greater faith than the world knows anything about. They are blinded to Jesus Christ of their own free will until the Lord comes down and injects himself into a life. You're not going to come to the Lord willingly until the Lord changes your will. He's got to first change the will and the want to. You read your Bible. Something happens in the heart of a man to turn his eyes to something he can't see. God has to do that. He has to shine a light into darkness before that can happen. And he has saved that for himself. Nobody outside of God has that ability. He has saved that totally for himself. But at the same time, he uses people to flow through them. And it's his spirit that flows out that connects with the heart of somebody who has been prepared for it. God has plowed up the ground. God has done things in this life. He has prepared this person to hear the saving word of Jesus Christ. Jesus the Christ is the way, the truth, and life. He's the only way that you will ever get delivered out of self. Self. What is salvation? Think about it. What is the Lord doing? When we are born into the kingdom of God through his mercy and grace, through the blood of Jesus Christ, we come into a new life. But there is a working out of that because God is going to deliver us out of self. But as we all know, we still got a lot of it with us. And as we go through these things, we're going through this life, God is delivering us from this self-preservation and bringing us into his kingdom to be part of his family. You want to know what's going on here? Not only are you here to help others, but God is preparing us to join his family. He is preparing us to rule and to reign with him through eternity. And when I think about it, and I love to read history, you have some of these kings that through the years, and they had princes, and what they would do kind of covertly, they would send these princes out to different places, to the candle maker and the butcher, and they would learn, not the job, but they would learn the heartbeat of that kingdom out there, what was going on. A good ruler would do that. So God is preparing us for something that we can't even imagine in the next life, whatever it is. Isn't that wonderful? Yeah. And we can look beyond this shakiness that's going on the foundations of this world that the Lord is just cracking and breaking up. Look, I mean, this world is changing. And darkness and evil is being let go. Men's mind is just making decisions. As Brother Phil said, they're making decisions every day on which way they're going to go. But God's making decisions too with people. And I want to get up here and share with you what I am most thankful for. At this time of things. I am thankful that the Lord intruded and broke into my life. I wasn't looking for the Lord. I wasn't wanting the Lord. But I'm here to tell you right now, he put me in a place where I did. And he changed my whole way of thinking. And he made me cry out to him. But here's the important thing. He prepared me through a journey and brought me to a place that when he came before me, I knew who he was and I wanted him. That is the miracle. That is the miracle when God has prepared a heart to come face to face with the Savior, Jesus Christ. That is truly a miracle. Do you know that that is happening today and people don't have a clue? They are engaged in conversations every day, coming from every direction, different media, different towns, of Jesus Christ, and they don't recognize who it is. That's a sad truth. God has not come down into their life in a way and got them on a direction, headed a direction, working with them in some low spots, low places. Most alcoholics and drug addicts are a lot closer to God than most people are. I'm sorry to say y'all look down, everybody looks down on them. I'm going to tell you what. Both of them is just a voice and a breath away from salvation's grace and mercy. Especially the ones that are hitting the bottom. And I've seen it time and time again. And a lot of times the Lord has to come down in our life and get us into a place like that. Sometimes he will do it suddenly. Sometimes he'll do it across a period of time. It's up to him. He knows what he needs to do, and he's good at it. Trust me, the Lord ain't up there trying this and trying that to see if it works. He knows exactly what to do. Trust me, he knows exactly what to do. And what was on my mind this morning, as you know, we are all on this road of salvation in one way or another. There's that initial coming into the knowledge of the truth in Christ Jesus, and there's the growing and the working out of that that we've come to know and understand. So this applies to everybody. It applies to everybody, especially the lost. But God is working in our hearts on a daily basis when it comes to salvation. Because I'm going to tell you what, I have learned. I need Jesus Christ every day. I need his salvation, grace, and mercy every day. I need what he gave to me on that big start, when we came in to start. Because until you get Jesus Christ in your heart through his personal salvation, something between you and this relationship, you ain't even at start. So somewhere on this journey where we all need the Lord, we need him in a greater way, and he's working on us. I know at one time when I was up there in the ministry, the only way to say it is it was the Spirit of the Lord was powerful. It was powerful. It was moving, and you could see it, and it was real on a daily basis. And you had a nucleus of people up there that was sincere. And I'm going to tell you, I really loved it. I really like. I think I shared with Carl one time we had an invite. But then the Lord delivered me out of that because he had a greater plan and a purpose, because you've got to learn how the Lord moves in your life, and he moves in different ways and not the same way twice. And I see how the Lord brought me through that. As I learned how he moved in these great and powerful ways. And then to learn that he also moves in these still voices. The same God. coming into a place. And this here is the hardest thing to do. Brother Phil said this one thing. It's hard when it's just a mundane day after day. And you have to get out of feelings and sound and sight, and you have to walk by faith. And I'm going to tell you what, in the last 2 years, that's been my journey. And learning that God is still there, and He's the same yesterday and today, and He moves in different ways. But it's the relationship that don't never change. I'm learning that the Lord, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. Just boiled down, you know, you seeking God, you're praying every day, and God blesses you. But sometimes it ain't that way. I just learned that. I was seeking an approval and a reward and something like that. Like, you know, obedience is better than sacrifice, right? Just get up here to the Lord's prayer and let Him rest in the Lord and let Him do it. Instead of, I want to work my way up there. And I had to learn that. And I've been wondering, Lord, you know, I know I'm here to learn, take care of Mom, whatnot. But it's been an experience for me in the day-to-day month. Just hanging, just being with the Lord. And that's been an experience. I had to learn that. Because I had learned a whole other operation, and now I had to learn this operation. Thank God, because one day this is all going to come together, and there's going to be a reason for all of it. And we'll see. But I kind of got away from why I was up here. I wanted to tell you and share with you a little bit. I know you've heard it before, but I don't mind doing this because Brother Field does it all the time. And that is what the Lord's done for me. Because the Lord came into my life and it was dark. It was dark. And I tell you what, one thing about darkness, when God turns a light on, you can really see. And when sometimes the Lord will put you in some deep darkness. Sometimes it gets hard to talk about some of this. But I was a heroin addict. I shot up heroin. I abused cocaine. I guess you could call me a trash can. I'd take anything you'd give me. I abused alcohol. And God used every bit of that. Every decision that I was making, I can look back now and I can see how God weaved that in to where He was taking me. Ain't that amazing how God could do that? Every decision I was making, God was bringing me closer to Jesus Christ. That's why I'm thankful. That's why I'm up here. Is because God blessed me so much that He afflicted me. Just like that leopard was afflicted. I forget his name. I want to ask you a question. Do you feel afflicted? Are you all right? Because the affliction the Lord gave me, He gave me a lifelong struggle. It's a lifelong struggle. God gave me a reason to lean on His strength and His mercy and His grace, which is sufficient in all my many weaknesses on all them things. It's sufficient. And because of the blood of Jesus that cleanses us from all unrighteousness, I can boldly go through the throne of grace and mercy. That never changes, and you can never use it all up. God is in the business of rescuing people out of the darkness of this present evil world. And if the good Lord has got you in a struggle over your head, then I believe it's time to do what He said. Look at where we're at. Look at where we're at. Because I'm telling you, this world is shaking and crumbling underneath your feet. And when this world completely evaporates, finally hits the bottom of this cliff, it went on, where are you going to be? Is the Lord tugging on your heart? Do you feel a tug on your heart? Did you hear what Michael said? That was Jesus Christ. And He said, if you die today, do you know where you're going? Is there a confidence in your heart that you've been cleansed in the blood of Jesus Christ? Because if you haven't, there's only one place you're going. And He's going to, the lake of fire that's going to just wipe this whole thing out. You're going to die. But the Lord sent His Son. He sent His Son Jesus. They beat Him within the inch of His life, so that blood could be poured out on the altar of God, His altar, His own altar. So not a soul would die in their sin and be poured out into that lake of fire. If that ain't love, I can't grasp it. Could you imagine all of us in here and a bunch of terrorists come in here and circled us with guns? And they said, if one of y'all give up one of y'all's kids, we'll let the rest go free. God moved on your heart. You let them kill your son. And then the terrorists said, well, y'all can all go. And y'all sat there and said, we like it here. We like it here. Can you imagine that? God gave His Son as a pathway so that our hearts could get cleansed in that blood, so His light could come down our hearts. And until you get the light and life of Jesus Christ in your heart, you're going to die. Because Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the life that flows through Him out of the Father is the only life that can't be killed. The rest of them is going to be destroyed. And until you get that in your heart, you're going to die. You know, you and me alone are the only ones that really have any idea if we have this peace and rest in Jesus Christ. It's personal. You are the only one that can tell for you. You could fool everybody in this place and go to hell. But I tell you this, I hope and pray, if you do not have the peace of God in your heart, something that is sustaining you and driving you every time you need it to the throne of grace, there's something there. There's something there that you've been rescued. You know what it is? If you've truly got Jesus in your Christ, in your heart, you've been sealed by the Spirit of God. It's that Spirit of God. It's that Spirit of God not only connects us together, but it keeps us in that relationship with God, with the throne of mercy and grace. And that never ends. I pray if you don't have that rest in Jesus Christ, if you've got that tug in your heart, if you're unsure about your salvation, pray and ask the Lord to become real in your life and wait and see if things don't start happening. I believe that is the best way to try to introduce people into a relationship with Jesus Christ. I believe it's very personal. You can make it public if you want to. But I believe that if you seek the Lord, you draw nigh to Him, He'll draw nigh to you. And He can give you a personal rest between Him, a peace with God, a rest with God. And you can know that. And if you don't have Him in your heart, He can change that. He can change. Maybe you don't want it. That ain't never stopped God before. Say, Lord, change me. And help me. Give me that rest and peace in You. Because I'm going to tell you something. No matter how shaky this world gets, we're all held in the palm of Jesus Christ and nothing can snatch us out. Death is unimportant. Because the life Jesus Christ has put in each and one of us cannot be killed. They can hurt this body, but they can't kill us. There's a peace and rest. We see this world. It's sad when you look at the world. It's sad. People have chose to believe the lie. Chose to believe the lie. And what happens with that? Said to be damned. But I believe God's got some people He wants to share this relationship with. He wants you to become part of Him and Him part of you. Give you some rest and peace. And as you see this world fall apart, you can say, praise God. I'm learning some of that too, because I tell you what, one thing I learned lately, there is no confidence in where this world's headed for me. The Lord is shaking up all these foundations of the world that we've been standing on. He is shaking them. And one day they're going to fall to pieces. I don't know what all this looks like. I don't know what's going to happen then. I just say, be ready for anything. And if we're in Christ, Christ is going to show us what we need to know as we need to know it, and we're going to be just fine. God's going to take care of us no matter what that looks like. And we can have rest and peace in God. And you can have a peace with God. If God wants you to come up here and share something, you can have a peace with God. If you fall on your face, praise God, you learned a few things. And there's nothing to be ashamed of. You know? I think I've said all I need to say. I thank the good Lord for it. I did have a scripture that I thought about reading, but I've changed my mind on that. But I want you to know this. The life I found in Christ is the best life I ever had. And he gave me a life worth living because I didn't have it. He put a smile on my face. One thing, when I pray in the morning, and a lot of times I just wake up. I don't want to do any praying. And about a few minutes with the Lord, and I say, Lord, you put a smile on my face again this morning. That I didn't have. It changes everything. God changes the heart. He changes the way you think. And he can make you feel good when you don't. I thank God to be part of a place here where the truth is flowing. Don't it become part of your everyday life? Think about some of the things, let's say, and you'll get in a situation and bam, like Brother Fitz said, daggone, here I am. It's a choice. Am I going to listen or not listen? I don't always listen, but God's working on it. Praise God. God bless you.
Praise God. I'm always very emotional when the Lord's speaking like that. I'm just who I am. I had a lot of the same scriptures come to me this morning as I was praying. And I just want to read a few scriptures. You can tell how weak I am because I have a hard time holding back my emotions. But God made me like I am, so I'll just share what I have. This one scripture that came to me strong as he was speaking, and it's so true. You know, the world will give you all kinds of solutions to your problems. Let's say do this or do that, or, you know, live your best life. You know, follow your heart. That's a lie. The heart's deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? But God searches the heart. He searches our hearts, and he knows what's there. And he puts what he said is so true. We won't come to the Lord unless he works that in us. And a lot of people say, well, I mean, then it's God's fault if we don't come to him. That's the trick of the enemy. It's in the scripture says it's God that worketh in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Everything in our flesh that we're born with is totally against God. Totally. And the scripture says in Acts 4, verse 12, salvation is found in no one else. It was talking about no one else but Jesus. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. And forgive my emotion. But it is so true. Jesus is the answer. The only answer. Period. Nothing else. He's the only one that can help you like that song. Jesus is the only one. When earthly friends have failed you and earthly help is gone, he is the one that God has put to save us. Individually, each one of us. You know the scripture that was ministered about the wise virgins? I mean, they all had a little bit of oil. And I don't understand the little bit that some had. But the scripture promises that that song was on my heart. As Steve said, all I needed to do was say, does anybody have a song in your heart? Ask, you shall receive. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened to you. That's God's promise to every one of us. Every one of us. And in one of the translations that I really like, one of the Gospels, it said, if you being evil, and that's me, without the Lord, we're all evil. There's none good but one, and that's God. And Jesus said that himself, and he was sinless. So I don't understand all that, but he was a perfect representation of God. But it said, if you being evil, and Phil ministered this one time, you know, people say, well, why does bad things happen to good people? And Phil had the answer. There's none good. None good. And that's so true. And people say that, and they give an excuse. You know, if there was a God, why does bad things happen to good people? And that's the answer for sure. But getting to that scripture, I like that translation that says, if you, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children. And some of this is, the Lord gives, he'll give you good things, but it says he'll give you the Holy Spirit to them that ask. That is the only way I can do anything the Lord asked me to do. I need his Spirit. And just like was, he was anointed to minister, if you didn't see God in that, you're hard-hearted. And one of that song says, open up your heart and yield to the Holy Spirit. That's what we have to do. If we're going to worship God, we have to worship him in spirit and in truth. And the only way we can do that is we have to open up our heart. Amen. That's the only way. And the Lord is calling. He is calling. If you don't see how corrupt this world is, everything. I watch too much news. I see stuff, and I can only take so much of it. But I want to be aware. I want to be aware of the times that we're in. Don't be fooled. Don't be blinded by the corruption of this world. God is coming soon. He said, you shall know when you look at the signs, you know, about when fall comes, when the leaves are turning, and everything, you know, it's near. And it is near now, like never before. The Lord's coming is so near. The scripture said people would be calling good evil and evil good. Look at what's going on in this world. If you can't see God's coming soon, even unbelievers testify this out of their own mouth. They do. They can see. It's like they don't believe God. They just say, wow, this is crazy. It is, but it is the loosing of Satan. It's a fact. But the Lord has a hiding place, and that's in Jesus Christ. He can give you peace in the storm. He can give you rest, and he can give you assurance to know that you are saved. You shall know you've passed from death into life because you love the brethren. I love you all. Continue to pray for us. I pray for you. I think I've said enough.
Praise God. He's here this morning extending his hand again. If you want this peace that they're talking about, like Rick's talking about, Brian, it's been mentioned. If you don't have it, reach out to him, cry out to him. During the song service, I had a lot of the songs were, you know, referring back to his coming. He's coming. And Luke 17 came to me back there during the song service. I'm just going to read through that in verse 26. Pray that the Lord help me get through this. If y'all had asked me 6 months ago if I'd be up here once, I would have said no, but twice in a row, definitely not. But praise God, he's working, I know it. Over in 26 of Luke 17, it says, just as in the days of Noah, so it will be in the days of the Son of Man. People were eating, drinking, marrying, and being given in marriage up to the day Noah entered the ark. Then the flood came and destroyed them all. Mike talked about if you have two options, you know, you could go out here and die today, But if you don't die and he does come back and you're still on this earth and you're not his, you're going to be destroyed just like it was in the day of Noah. He destroyed them all. And besides Noah's family, Noah was walking with God. He put his faith in him. Then in verse 28, it was the same in the days of Lot. He's giving two examples here. We know what happened in both of those stories, and it wasn't good except for the ones that put their faith in the Lord. It says, people were eating and drinking, buying, selling, planting, and building. But the day Lot left Sodom, fire and sulfur rained down from heaven and again destroyed them all. Anyone who's listening, God is extending his hand this morning. Anyone you may be listening online, reach out to him. Because you don't want to be one of the ones left here and destroyed, just like that happened in those days. It will be like this on the day of the Son of Man is revealed. On that day, no one who is on the housetop with possessions inside should go down and get them. Likewise, no one in the field should go back for anything. And that, when I read this, I thought, the people that are holding on to stuff of this world, maybe that's what he's trying to say here. I don't know for sure, but that was my thought. If you're in these bondages, like was talked about last week, if you're not living for him, these are the things possibly that he's talking about here. And it says, remember Lot's wife. She wanted the things of Sodom. She was living for that. She was almost out, but she didn't have quite enough. And remember what happened to her? She turned into the pillar of salt. Whoever tries to keep their life will lose it, and whoever loses their life will preserve it. I tell you, on that night, two people will be in one bed, one will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding grain together, one will be taken and the other left. It's time to seek him. We don't want to be left here. And this morning on YouTube, something went out that I'm not sure when it was preached, but Ready for Midnight. And it was relevant. Hang on just a second. Revelation 22, something I want to read there, was given out during that message. It's in Revelation 22:11. It says, let the one who does wrong continue to do wrong. Let the vile person continue to be vile. Let the one who does right continue to do right, and let the holy person continue to be holy. Look, and then he says in verse 12, look, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give it to each person according to what they have done. Praise God. He's coming soon. Again, he's extending his hand this morning. Just put your faith and trust in him. Amen.
Praise God. I appreciate what has been shared here this morning, because I tell you what, it is the gospel. It is the reason God has done what he has done throughout eternity. And I had a song. I've been wanting to sing it forever, but haven't got a chance to. And I said, Lord, I really want to sing this morning, but didn't get a chance to. But I'm going to read the words, and it's called He's Still the Same. It says, some people's Christ lived a long time ago. He died upon the cross for them. That is all they know. Other people know that he is coming back someday, but few really know that he is in the world today. Jesus Christ is still the same as he was yesterday, and he'll be just as wonderful tomorrow. So listen to his word. Let your heart be stirred. Something I thought about right there. Don't just listen to us. Get into God's word and let it stir your heart. If you do not have this peace and rest, cry out to God like has been said here. You are going to leave this place, every single one of us, either A, with a greater assurance in our salvation, or B, going, Lord, do I really have what I need? That's what's going to happen when we leave this place today. He's coming forth. Praise God for this. He's coming forth to set his people free. Do you have an ear to hear? He wants to set you free this morning. It says, Christ is the way. He's the truth and the life. His presence in the heart can bring the ending of all strife. His power is still the same today to set the captive free. Are you captive this morning? Whatever it is, God can break it. He can break it. We've all been captive at point. Man, I remember when God came. You know, the gates of hell don't exist anywhere but right here on our hearts. And when Christ comes, you call out to him, there's nothing that can stop that. He breaks those chains. He opens that prison and will set you free. And those who come to God by him can have his victory. Let's lift our voices in praise to our friend. His mercy is everlasting. His love will never end. This is what I need. His presence goes before us as we journey on life's way. Praise God for that. His hand will safely guide us through until that glorious day. You know what? He's not going to lose one of his. You cannot outrun God. There's somebody in here trying to, but it ain't going to happen. God is going to, he is going to capture you, whoever it is. Whatever is holding, just give it all to Christ. He can take it. He will take it. Whatever burden it is. I don't care if it's, you know, we have family members that we're concerned for, right? You know that God is going to save them. We need to keep going to God. We need to, God, give us faith to keep coming to you. He is a miracle-working God. He is still working today. He is coming forth to set his captives free. Here is the scripture. I think this was read last week or two. But this is a verdict. You know what a verdict is? The gavel has dropped. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world. Jesus Christ has come. It says, but men love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. I'll tell you what. It is the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. When that light comes, agree with what you see because it is the truth of what you see in the mirror. I mean, it's truth. You won't get around it. We won't get around it. I won't get around it. Truth has come. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light. There's the choice right there. Why? Because of the fear that his deeds will be exposed. Well, I'll tell you what, God already sees it. The only people that don't see it are us who have not had the veil taken away yet. But God's doing that. Praise God. Like I said, he's not going to lose one. For fear there's... But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light. Praise God. So that it may be seen plainly that what he has done has been done through God. But I tell you what, man, while God's shining his light, let's walk into the light. It's available. Today it is. It may not be 10 minutes from here. Who knows? Who knows? God could wrap this thing up. There might be the one last person he's trying to save here today. I don't know. You don't know. But praise God, let's continue to look to our Savior. Let's be captured, like was said this morning, by his holy calling. I'll tell you what, I woke up this morning, I was hungry. The two songs that we let out with created me a hungry heart. Renew a right spirit within me. And God, give me that clean heart, oh God. Give me that clean heart. We sang both of those songs this morning because I need it. But I was just in there praising God as I was just worshiping him. Because I tell you what, man, it is a dark hour that we live in. We need to be filled with his spirit because he wants to use us. He can use someone like me. He can use someone like you. And we are a part of that kingdom that he is making. Praise God. I appreciate God's love and mercy to us. Praise God.
I'll be real quick, but through the whole service, I can't shake the picture or Pilgrim Progress. There was one of the little scenes in there was the house was swept clean. You know, and I remember one time we went down to Florida, Brother Thomas pulled us aside and he said, son, do you realize that house can be clean if you don't ever fill it? It's got to be filled, you know. And I just can't get that visual out of my mind, you know. Referring to, it goes along with everything, I think, this morning. And I just wanted to throw that picture out there. It has to be filled, too, you know.
Praise God. You know, as all these men were speaking, I couldn't... help but think of the days of Noah, you know, that's been brought out. Because I'm sure that in the days of Noah, while he was building that ark, just like the Lord is building his church, people would come around and they would try to communicate with him and tell him what was going to happen. and only 8 people left the earth that day. And the same thing in Lot's day. Lot tried to convince his family, and they wouldn't even go. Even Lot really didn't want to go. The angels took him and grabbed him and took him out. That's God's faithfulness. He's not going to lose a single one of his children. Even if you're stubborn and you don't want to bow, God will get you. He's not going to lose you. And I don't know, I just keep thinking that it's even worse today. Men's hearts are so hard. They're gospel hardened. They've heard this gospel for so long, and they've rejected it. Not really rejected it. I mean, religion has taken hold, and that was a deceptive thing from Satan himself to bind men in something that was antichrist. It had the picture of Christ, but it's not have the life. Jesus is not there. I believe God is trying to reach someone, whether it's here in the church here today, or whether it's going to be through the internet, on YouTube, somebody that watches. God is trying to speak to somebody. And I have for some time felt like the Lord's coming is near. You know, I was thinking about, I've been reading in our daily reading about Paul going around to all these places preaching, the fervency that he had to try to reach people. And not just Paul, but all the disciples. The fervency they had, the fire that was in them from the Lord to reach people. And I thought, my God, I've gotten so cold. Help me. I want that fire to be returned, because we don't know how soon the Lord's going to come. I mean, you don't know. I don't know. I mean, we may all die before he comes, but we may not either. And when we see all these things happening, he said, know that it is near, even at the door. And that scripture Jesse read, I'm coming to give every man according to his work. You know what that work is? That you believe on him that he has sent. This is the work of God. That's what he told all those Pharisees. And that's what's needed in every heart that's gonna go away with him. And I've just had this burden, not just for somebody, even for myself. You know, I mean, this examine yourself is real. You need to take a look. You know, God can straighten out all the junk in us that needs to be straightened out. We don't need to doubt. We don't need to minister doubt to people. But I'll tell you, you need to examine yourself. And then you need to start talking with the Lord. You need to start doing what these men have said. Get into the Word. Read the Word. I'll tell you that, it helps me every morning. Because I got a lot of needs. But that answer is right there every morning. God is right there when Linda and I pray. God comes and he'll answer those prayers. And he doesn't answer them the way we like, but he answers them. So God is real. And that's, if there's one thing that we can somehow project to people, Jesus Christ is real. This isn't a fable, a story out of a book. All these things that the disciples shared about how God took them out of Egypt. I mean, they would share the word with people there, tell them about God and how great he is. But they still wouldn't listen. We need to listen. And God can help you. And I'll tell you, those of us that know the Lord, let's do what's been exhorted to do here this morning. Let's pray. Let's pray for people. Let's pray that God will lead us to those that he's working with. And be sensitive enough to him when we talk to him. You don't have to preach to people, but you can be sensitive in your heart enough that you have reason, that you can give them a reason for the hope that lays within you. And you can help them where they're at and be a friend to them. Let's remember these. You know, I'm thinking of Jay and Jeannie up there in Indiana, because we've been talking to them a lot. and they really want fellowship somewhere, and they're really seeking the Lord what to do. And even Billy and Dinah wants to bring Jordan down here to something where Jordan can be around the young people, and I think she's thinking about the youth camp. And so we'll try to keep her informed. But let's remember, there's people out here. They're hungry. There's not a lot around where you can go. There are pockets and there are places, but the main thing is that we get a hold of God. Four people have that same desire in us that was in the early church to reach people. Have that within us. Praise God.
Just realize how much room is up here. That's me. I got to keep things light or I get emotional too, like Brian does. Not quite as bad, but a little bit. But I was thinking about what Ron said there at the end about people that are just really, I think everybody's just in question right now. Everybody's like, what's going to happen? What's going to happen with this? It could be political. It could be whatever it may be. God knows we don't need politics. We need Christ. And I was thinking about Ron, about what he said about us reaching out to people. And I got this guy that helps me at work. And he's got a kid that's a little bit younger than Finn. And he told me just out of the blue that his son had, he didn't even know who Jesus was. Had no clue. And of course, I kind of, you know, your first is as somebody that's grown up in church. Luckily, I've had parents that have always pointed me to Christ. And but there's people out there that they don't have a clue. They don't know where their help comes from. And it breaks your heart, because when you are a Christian and you have given your life to Christ, you want to see other people have that same relationship with Christ. And about being a CD, this is a song that Paul and his family used to sing. Gosh, it's probably been 10 years since I've heard him sing it. But I popped in a CD in my truck. I was going down the road, and we all get those dry periods where you're just like, God, why is this happening in my life right now? Why is this particular trial? And all he's trying to do is get our attention to draw us closer to him so we can reach out to him so he can reach out to us. Well, we know this song very well, but I'm just going to read the words to it. It's that song, Through the Fire. And it starts out, so many times I questioned certain circumstances or things I could not understand. Many times in trials, weakness blurs my vision and my frustration gets out of hand. I think we can all say we've been pretty frustrated with a lot of things that are going on in the world right now. But this is what really stuck out to me. It says, "It's then I am reminded I've never been forsaken. I've never had to stand the test alone. And as I look at all the victories, the Spirit rises up in me. And it's through the fire my weakness is made strong." You know, a lot of the weaknesses that, you know, Ricky was talking about earlier and stuff, we all got our weaknesses. We don't like to, you know, nobody likes labels. Oh, that person drinks too much, or that person does drugs, or that person has a, you know, we all have our stuff, okay? But listen to the words of the song. "He never promised that the cross would not get heavy and the hill will not be hard to climb. He never offered our victories without fighting." That means there's a daily fight that we have to have. And our, you know what our fight is? It's to lay ourselves down and let God come and do the work that he's already started. He promised to finish it. And the adversary, here's, you know, we all have this battle daily. I feel it, well, maybe it's just personal, but I do. And the adversary says, give in. We've all given in at one point, haven't we? Just hold on. Our Lord will show up and he will take you through the fire again. This is the most important to me at the end of this song. "I know within myself that I would surely perish. Every one of us in ourselves would perish without Jesus Christ intervening in our lives. But if I trust the hand of God, he'll shield the flames again." Think about that right there. Doesn't it say we're not going to have trials daily or in the future? It says that he's going to be right there in the fire with us, intervening and fighting. Yes. that fight of faith that we can't do in ourselves. Do y'all know how important that is? Because if we try to do it in ourselves, I've tried to do it myself. Every one of us probably sitting here is trying to fix something in our lives, and how'd that go for you? It didn't go good for me, I can tell you that. But if you just ask God, like Samantha said this morning, to intervene, he will meet you there in a way that only he can do it, and it'll be so real to you. Yes. That you won't have anything to do talking about bowing the knee to Christ and about knowing where you're at with Christ. It doesn't have to be in the pulpit. It can be a personal thing. I still feel, and this is my personal opinion, this is still a place that is open for people that want to bow their knee to Christ. If anybody in this church thinks this place right here is not a place to bow the knee, or you're too embarrassed to give your life to Christ, that's a lie from the enemy. This right here is just as important as your closet at home. Don't ever think that this pulpit is not an opportunity for you to give your life to Christ, because you, and don't be embarrassed. It'll be the best decision you've ever made in your life. Amen. Y'all realize that? This world is so temporary. We think about how much money we make and how much, you know, we can do, and we all got hobbies. We like to fish, hunt, play sports, whatever. That means nothing compared to what we have in eternal eternity with Christ. Amen.
Praise God. In some ways, I hesitate to get up. Lord's speaking to someone today, if you hear his voice. Today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. I thought about this, and I'm going to read this real quick, and we'll move on. And this is a song that we've sung a lot. Come unto Jesus. It says, oh, I know there are things in your life you think he can't forgive. He can forgive, can you, Ricky? Yes, sir. And not just Ricky. I tell you, it's some of us that think that we're good. There's things in our lives that he can forgive. We don't want to admit, but he'll forgive and forget, my friend, and show you how to live. Don't you put it off, my friend. You can't afford to wait. You can't afford to wait today. Today is the day for you. Today may be your day. Amen. You may walk out that door. God might not ever speak to you again. He might not, but we do have a gracious God. And he comes back to us and comes back to us. Praise God. Today is the day for you. Soon it could be too late. Come unto Jesus. Give him your life today. Come unto Jesus. Let him have his way. Amen. Praise God.